Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. This is Andrea Simintov speaking to you from rainy, wet, pouring, thundering, blustering, sleet-filled Jerusalem. You are listening to Pull Up a Chair on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And I hope that this is where your computer is set 24/6. Get it? 24/6? A prize for anybody who recognizes what I really meant. Okay, it is blustering. It is crazy. I wanted to actually find you. We have a great quote. We have a quote in our daily prayers where we ask God to bless us with wind in the proper season and rain in the proper season. And it seems to start and stop exactly on time. And I'm just actually looking for it. And last night I just spoke to our engineer who miraculously was not fired during the week. That's a joke. Anyway, and apparently his house was like, you know, the song, Don't Let the Rain Come Down, My Roof's Got a Hole in It. The guy almost drowned. But he made it here this morning after having in his bed his dog, his wife. He didn't kick her out. So that was good. The dog, the wife, the dishes, anything by the windows. It is blustering. Good morning. Good morning, America, listening in. Drop me a note in the chat room. I want to know you're listening in from the East Coast, from the West Coast, from the North, from the South. I know we have a bunch of friends from Texas. Israel, of course, Canada. The UK is listening in this morning. Australia. Well, we know about Australia. We know that in Melbourne, it's like 38 degrees. It's blistering there. Brazil, Germany. Good morning, Germany. Austria, El Salvador. El Salvador, that's the first. And of course, Argentina. Argentina, you had something very scary happen this week with your chief rabbi. If we have time, we'll talk about it. Or even better yet, you tell me right into the chat room, pick up the phone and call. All right, today we're going to be talking about, found a great article, Why Should We Hate Israel, written by a Kurdistan, a Kurdi Arab reporter. Very interesting, and it's sort of facetious. We shouldn't hate Israel. Poland demanding that Israel apologize. Poland. All right, you know what? I need to go have some whiskey in my coffee. This is Andrea Simintov. Pull up a chair. I'm going to see you on the other side.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
And we're back. Andrea Simintov on Pull Up a Chair, IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. By the way, you can actually write me letters. I get great, great letters from people. And my address is Andrea@IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Andrea is spelled exactly the same way it was spelled on the Andrea Doria, the ship that sank off the coast of Newfoundland. Okay, I made mention a little while ago in the chat room, and we got a note from my dear friend Hannah, really, and you know, I make jokes, I say my dear friend, but Hannah really is a good friend, and she said to me, it was like pouring, she lives by the sea. I said, Hannah, call in and tell us what it's like looking out over the stormy sea. And you know what Hannah did? She like got off the line. She became, I don't know, it's not like her to get cold feet. Hannah, we want to hear from you, if not today, next time. All right. So I find it fascinating that we have El Salvador listening in this morning. That's I don't seem to remember. I don't know what happened to my friends in Nigeria. Maybe it's, well, it's Thursday morning, Minion, so they may be. Now, one of the things that I thought is a new segment on this show, on this ever-popular show, is I want you to meet a friend of mine. It's not, you know, I don't know, she might be curing brain cancer, I'm not sure, but one of the things that I always talk about, and I tell you how I love this country and the deliberateness of those who pull up stakes, pull up their, in very often, dream lives. I'm not talking about refugees, and God knows we have a lot of refugees in Israel, Jewish refugees who have been ousted, literally spit out of Muslim-dominated lands, and they come here. And yet you have people like me who came. I mean, I left the 4x4. I left the car. I left the split ranch. And I had a lot of nice jewelry before I had to sell it, fixing the mic, to maintain my life here. And the other night, a friend was over. We had a little business to conduct with one another. I sort of have to earn money. She sort of has to spend money. And let me unplug this phone here. We don't want any more of that beeping. Anyway, she told me, my friend Esther told me that she had attended an event for women at Eish HaTorah, the Eish HaTorah site. You all know about that, Eish.com. An Eish HaTorah event in the Old City, directly across from the Kotel. And she told me that it was a real spiritual high. So I want to introduce you to my friend Esther. And as I say, she works out, she volunteers, she studies, she maintains a marriage, she's a mom, she cooks, she's in the game. And you know what? She's typical of the women who are in my orbit. And I'm really proud to call her my friend. Esther, are you on the line?
I am. Andrea, thank you for having me here so early in the morning here in Israel.
You know what, Esther?
I'd like to tell everybody about this epic event that I went to. It really started out as a few women getting together saying, you know, we want a better life for us, for our family, for the world. And yeah. They really concentrated on the power of women. So this little video went around the world and everybody jumped on the bandwagon. And this wasn't just an event in Jerusalem facing the Kotel, the Wailing Wall.
Right.
It was an event that spanned the world. My friend just gave me some stats. She said about 30,000 women around the world participated, and there was about 100 different locations. In Israel, there was at least 20, because it seems like we're the epicenter of the world, so women are pretty sensitive here.
Let me just understand something. So can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. I had actually lowered the volume because, you know, it gets very loud in my ears here. So when you say that there were 20, you mean like 20 sites, people tuned in? It wasn't just the physical presence, but you're saying that people, women, holy women, tuned in from around the world?
Women attended events. There was no, only live feed was from Rebbetzin Yamima Mizrahi, but every event had its own character. And the way our evening went was there was a band of women, there was flute and drums and guitar, and women were singing, women were praying, women were telling stories, women were dancing. And, you know, being a businesswoman, I'm like, everybody's powerful. You know, you walk into a conference room and there's men and there's women and everybody's powerful. But what I saw in this event, and I only attended one in Yerushalayim facing the Kotel, was the power, the heart, the passion that these women had. Some women told stories of their pain, of their happiness. Some women, you know, just told of daily life, and it's hard, it's easy, but everybody had one heart, one cause, and the cause was to bring about a better world. They're calling it Geula, redemption. We're all waiting for that. The Jews have been waiting for that for 2,500 years and maybe 3,000, I don't know, but a long, long time.
You know, Esther, I have to tell you.
By getting together. What?
I loved it. You know, you were in my living room last night. This was definitely not part of my program today. You know, I have to, because I always, you know, I want to talk about what creeps the polls are. So having said that, you were in my living room. You were telling me about this event. And I mean, there was almost like this glow on your face. And I felt extremely humbled. And I know that, you know, it's not a secret that what I think has happened to women in the past 30 years, what has happened to our connection to our innate femininity, our innate softness, our innate ability to bring kindness and goodness and a special kind of critical light and balance to the world, something has gotten very, very butchered and ugly in that. And when you talked about this, it reminded me of our womanly power from the days of Gan Eden, from the Garden of Eden, through the Exodus from Egypt, through our entire history. And it was written all over you. And I really wanted you. Why do you think it was such an important thing, Esther, that women get together? Couldn't we have just had a new Facebook group?
No. You had to feel the energy of your neighbor, your sister, right next to you. You had to connect emotionally with that individual person. And then in Jerusalem, there was 550 women, like dancing with one heart, with one mind, with one passion. It was very intense. I never felt anything like that in my life. Because
I
think everybody's got their own power. But women getting together, it was epic. That's the only word I can describe. I just cried being a part of it. I just felt so privileged to be a part of it. And I actually look at women in a different way because we are feminine. We are powerful. We have lots of things going on in the same time. But in that moment, we were all there together as one, just praying that God would come back and help us make a better world. We need
Esther,
it.
Let me ask
in
you.
Trouble.
Yeah, I'm crazy. I mean, I'm crazy about this conversation. Very not keeping in what I usually do on this show, but you blew my mind last night. And I realized, you know, we both know that nothing is by chance. Every action in this world is purposeful, and every action, activity, and interaction is God ordained. And that's how I felt about you plopping down in my living room last night. Thankfully, you weren't bringing me any more of those quinoa crackers because, you know, that took a while to work out of my system. So anyway, first of all, when you know about these things, again, I can't believe that I missed it. I'm like on the radar of everything, every event, everything that's going on. And for some reason, this missed me. And I'm delighted that I missed it because I don't think I could have done it justice, or I don't think it would have spoken to me belly to belly, heart to heart, the way you did last night in my living room. So, having said that, remember I told you that one of our listeners said I sounded like I'm out of Central Casting? The two of us together sound like the nanny on steroids, you know?
I was hoping I lost my New York accent, but I guess I haven't.
Oh, my gosh.
For sure not listeners, my attitude.
Listeners, did this babe lose her New York accent? I'm not so sure. So, anyway, will you please drop me a note anytime this stuff is going on, and perhaps we'll set you up with a mic, we'll do something like that, or at least with a heads up that I can be better prepared. I'm so grateful that you came in this holy manner on really very short notice. I never saw you looking anything but gorgeous, so I'm sure you're gorgeous in your pajamas right now. And
I'm actually dressed for work, so there you go.
Okay, now you know why our friendship isn't deeper. Okay, anyway, Esther O, we'll just say O, thank you for being on the show. I'm going to close out this segment, but I want to thank you very much. Thank you for bringing this taste, this remez, this avak of holiness, this dust of holiness to as we enter the Shabbos.
It's my honor and my pleasure, and I hope we have more events like this. And yes, I'll tell you, but you should know this only came about a month ago. So that can also show you the power of women just making things happen and
love
quickly.
Okay, I'm wishing you a good Shabbat Shalom, and I'm actually going to continue with this thread until we close out this segment. Thank you, Esther O. So, friends, it's very interesting because, again, I don't hang out in the feminist coffee shop ever. Having said that, we're talking about an innately indigenous power of Jewish women. We have 30 seconds. I know that I have actually experienced that this year in having joined a SOM group, a Tehillim group, in the merit of a healing for a very sick baby. And women from around the world, from South America, from South Africa and Israel and Canada and all over, are saying prayers together. It's very womanly. It's very indigenous. And Esther brought that home. Andrea Simintov, I'm going to see you on the other side.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country. From Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
And we're back. Andrea Simintov, pull up a chair. This is great. You're listening from Jerusalem, rainy Jerusalem, crazy rainy Jerusalem. All right. So that was very, I get these muses, the things I talk about on this show. Technically, somebody once wrote to me and said, so what's the theme of the show tomorrow? And my answer always is, the theme is whatever gives me a ping behind my eyeballs, that ping that you, when something feels real and something feels good or something feels shareable, I want to share it. You know, there's a story. It's not a story. I don't know if it's really true, but they said, they talk about how a guy is accused of killing his parents, and he throws himself on the mercy of the court and the judge, and he says, please don't imprison me, don't sentence me to death, I'm an orphan, you know, because the Torah tells us to be kind to orphans, you know. So I mean, this is the definition of chutzpah. You kill your parents and then you throw yourself on the mercy and say, I am an orphan. I thought about that because in the news this week is a Polish demand for an Israeli apology. You know, I'm trying to even see what our new crime is. Good morning. Good morning, Israel. Took off my glasses. Got to get down. Okay, so this is official out of the Polish government. Israel has to formally apologize for statements by the Israeli foreign minister that was deemed by Polish racist. You know, I'm going to say something here. I don't care what he said. I don't care what he said. I'm trying to think that, is it the memory of the Holocaust? Katz. Was it Yisrael Katz? Yisrael Katz of the Likud said that there was an ongoing diplomatic row with Poland over the Holocaust censorship law. You see, Poland doesn't like to be associated with the Holocaust, with the slaughter, with the butchering of 6 million Jews and another 4 million human beings that roamed the earth, that were born by God's good grace into freedom. And Poland doesn't like the way the world interprets their role, which, without being carpeted with political correctness, isn't accurate. Poles should stoop, they should fall to the knees in the presence of any living Yid, any remnant of our people that was left crawling as they clawed their ways out of the sewers of Poland when they were finally liberated by the Allies. And Poles, in their rewrite, demand an apology because Yisrael Katz said very unceremoniously, very unclassily, very unpolitically correct. He said, the memory of the Holocaust is something we cannot compromise about. It is something clear and we won't forgive. or forget. I got that backwards. Poles collaborated with the Nazis. They didn't like that, that we it's documented. Poles collaborated with the Nazis, and as Yitzhak Shamir, whose father was murdered by the Poles, said, they suckle antisemitism with their mother's milk. Katz's comments quickly drew condemnation from Poland, which labeled the comments as racist. All right, I hear it. I read it, and this is called Thursday. Racist? Sorry. The fact is, there's something that's so missing in this world. So gone. I miss it so. There used to be something called humility. There used to be called something modesty. There even was a concept known as shame. They can never pay back. They can never give back. All right, so that's it. We are there. Polish law said, is it? Oh, yeah, just to finish this up, under Polish law, it is illegal to discuss, it is illegal to discuss Polish collaboration with the Nazis, with offenders liable to be sentenced up to 3 years in prison. Here are my wrists. Come, take me in. Take me in. Okay, there we go. So we see that. We discussed Poland. Shame on you. We have to be nice. We have to be nice. Generations of Israelis. Guess what? You owe. You owe by humility. You owe by shutting the heck up. All right. Here we go. Oh, I just had a note from Zahava Englander. All right. I didn't get this in time. You know, sometimes by the time Zahava Englander, she's been on the show before. She really... she doesn't mince words. She is political. She's got her finger on the pulse. And those who you love it in Hebrew, ha'etzba ala dofek of Israel. And she has what to share with us. I'm not going to put her on today. One guest today is enough. But Zahava, if you're listening in today, I sent you a note on Facebook. Please translate, put into text that incredible video. I'd like to read it on air. All right, teachers, Jewish teachers losing their jobs. Here, I'm going to go out on a limb now. I'm sure I will hear from some of you. Actually, nobody listening in the show because everybody listening in basically is the choir, preaching the choir. So we all know that there's a lot of dissent because the Jewish Homes United List has taken upon itself They're going to be the savior for the land of Israel and its right-wing government, and other right-wing parties are invited to join. You know, a name being bantered about right now is the name Rabbi Rafi Peretz. And okay, I'm just watching the clock here. This engineer, he's very good. He's not a new one, but the other one got frightened. Our engineer, he got frightened when I threatened him last week. He's with the program. All right. So Rabbi Rafi Peretz is an educator, and he is on the, he's the head, the leadership of the, oh gosh, how do we even say it? I'm all over the place. The Otzma Yehudit, Jewish strength, Jewish power party. And so many people, whenever they intone the name Rabbi Meir Kahana Zatzal, everybody runs in to say, not that I agreed with Rabbi Kahana. Not that Rabbi Kahana's policies are what we believe in. Not that Rabbi Kahana, on and on and on. And I would venture to say, and correct me if I'm wrong, almost everybody who runs in to separate him or herself from the words, the teachings, the philosophy, the heartbeat, and the attitude toward Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael of Rav Meir Kahana Zatzal, I would say that 9.5 out of 10 never read his stuff, never heard his speeches. We bandy about the word racist. You know, I get all the time when I'm checking my emails, and I'll get this thing saying, you know, so-and-so, whatever site I'm looking at, wants to know your location, and I tend to block it. I don't want them to know where I'm listening in from or where I'm reading in from. Not, you know, I don't like it. I don't need it for their demographics. So many people, they never heard, they never read, but they separate themselves. And please God, in the next few weeks, I'm actually going to read. I'm going to read portions of Rav Kahana's writings in the hope that some of you listening in will be pleasantly surprised, scratch your head and ask, why have I never heard that before? Or, I've always felt that. That doesn't seem particularly racist to me. Why is self-preservation, self-love, self-protection, self-respect nowhere in the writings, the teachings of Rav Kahana Zatzal? Did he ever advocate death and annihilation to our enemies? We are not blessed with those same kind of halavai, more enemies like that. And you know, even the members that people are, the members of Otzma Yehudit, Jewish strength, they're not even the kachniks of the old days. They learned you got to play with the big boys in the big boys game. There's a lot to learn, a lot to listen. And maybe we should practice the art of buttoning our lips and learning more, sitting in the discomfort and learning more. And you know what? People, if something feels right, if something sounds right, if something lays familiar in your heart, you can be pretty sure that it's not, that it is indeed commensurate with Torah. And if a land, the Jewish homeland for the Jewish people, with rights and services and friendship to those who are not part of the Jewish people as they dwell or visit in our country, if that feels good to you, then guess what? You are a follower, a proponent, an advocate of Kahanaism. There's a lot to be said about this, but I have to tell you, instead of me pulling back and saying, not that I agree, not that I'm a Kochnik, not that I'm a member of Otzma Yehudit, as soon as I saw the name Rabbi Rafi Peretz at the head of the slate, I knew I was obligated to learn more, because I personally know Rafi Peretz. He's all that, he's good, he is the embodiment of everything holy of the land of Israel and the people of Israel. This is Andrea Simintov. I'm coming back with Parsha, baby.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
The show is racing today. This is Andrea Simintov at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Okay, so, all right, so much to do. Oh, look at the clock here. Wow, wow, wow. We're in the Parsha section, and yet there's a couple of things I didn't quite get to. Let me just see. Is this Oh, I see. Okay, wait. I just want to, like, raise the sound here. You know, when I was on with Esther, you know, we New York babes, we tend to speak a little loudly. Okay, wait a second. Anybody in the chat room, if you hear me coming through loud and clear, just drop me a note. Let me know. All right. Nathan, I'm happy you have that air conditioner on. It's hot there. All right, here we go. Oh, so I spoke to my daughter in South Africa this week, and she said to me, anyway, apparently, you know, I do this little gig, the South African gig, on Thursday afternoons, and I have to really give it some more thought today. So if you're listening in from South Africa and you hear me on Thursday afternoons, I promise to be more circumspect this week. Apparently, you know, everybody likes the little segment. I go on, it's like 10 minutes, it's called Out My Kitchen Window, and I just talk about the happenings of Israel that week. Try not to keep it too bloody, try not to keep it too political, try not to keep it too harif, and some days I try not to keep it even too meaningful. But having said that, I really wanted to talk about Purim, and I was so embarrassed. The host of the show, actually the regular host, Kathy Kaller, who is, she's a rock star. I mean, this gal's a rock star, and I'm going to try to find her. She's going to be running the Jerusalem Marathon, please God, but she wasn't well. Anyway, I mean, I know I'm speaking fast. So the host, I can't remember his name. I have to look it up. In the middle of everything, he says to me, so tell us about the, and then he mentions about the Israeli rocket that they sent up into space. I think they did it the night before I was on the show. And I had only, I didn't know anything about it. It was so embarrassing. I mean, here, I'm like supposed to be the embodiment of Israeli information and what's going on. And I quickly Googled it. And it looked like an arts and crafts project that, you know, I once did for a science fair. And I had nothing to say. And I was pretty mortified. So today I'm going to prep them and say, don't ask me about what I don't know about. You know, ask me about Kugels. All right. Before we go on, looking at the clock here, onto Parsha, I just do want to mention, I don't feel like talking about ISIS wives. Oh, Chana, you're listening in, and you're going to believe this. You're going to love what I'm going to say here. Andrea Simitov at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. So a scientific report came out this week. I tell you, if there's something that needs to be known, you're going to hear about it here on this show. Confirmed, dancing makes you happy. And Nietzsche said that without music, life would be a mistake. And he wasn't wrong. Apparently, dancing is natural. We have to dance. We have to get up. And I really thought that as we enter Shabbos, anytime you want to stop your peeling, stop frying up that eggplant, stop gutting that chicken, just stop a minute, put on some Mordechai Ben David, put on some Shweki, put on some Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and start dancing. It's therapy. It's good. And we danced in the Midbar. We danced in the desert. And we're going to dance again. So it's good for you. And I want to know that you even can get up. And during my show, anybody who wants to get up and dance, feel free. Okay, here we go. Last thing before Parsha. Nah, I'm going to go into Parsha. I really don't want to talk about APEC. I hate them today. All right, but we are going to talk about the duplicity of APEC at a certain point. I got the heat on under here, and I'm like dying. It's so cold that I'm scared that I'm going to be hot. All right, Parsha Vayakel. So we have been, the last few Parshas that we've discussed have been very, they've been dry. And of course, when I discuss it, it's fun, it's sexy, it's good. Parsha's great. Parsha is the heartbeat. Torah is not a history book. Don't be confused. Sometimes one part comes before the other. It's when our holy God in heaven wants to talk to us. So I came across a few Vayekel thoughts. So here it opens up. And it begins with Moses reminding the children of Israel to keep the Shabbat. And this is followed by Moshe calling for donations to be used for the construction of the Mishkan or the tabernacle. Now, wait a second. Keep the Shabbos, whoop-de-doo. And by the way, give us donations for the tabernacle. So Rashi, among others, explains that the placement of Shabbos before the Mishkan, the tabernacle, teaches us that building the ladder, the creation of a tabernacle, is not as important as keeping the Shabbat. And therefore, Israel has to cease from the construction of this tabernacle once the Shabbat arrives. The order in which the Torah records this makes it very, very clear. So it made me think, what does this say about the building of beautiful sanctuaries in cities and towns where no one is Sabbath observant, food for thought. So I ate that thought, and I thought to myself, they've got it wrong. You can pray anywhere. You can make your home a synagogue. You can turn over your community center and the gym, your local supermarket. I know here in Israel, on the backs of supermarkets, they have little mini synagogues. It doesn't have to be made of Israeli marble and a gold-coated eternal light and beautiful cherry wood arcs. A synagogue can be anywhere. The Sabbath comes first. So now the other thing is that when I get my electric bill, you're not going to believe it. This is actually Parsha, but it is. When I get my electric bill, and sometimes I have to go and negotiate it because I'm paying too much or not enough, or they have recorded not enough people in my house. You know, we get water allowances in Israel. You're allowed a certain amount of water to a certain point, and then because water is so indeed precious, that if you use beyond your allowance, you're charged at a different rate. But what's fascinating is that here in Israel, it doesn't say there are five people in your home. It actually says on the bills, Chamesh Nefashot, five souls. And here it brings down the Parsha. We are numbered in souls. The strength of the nation of the world is in quantity. There are so many hundred million people in India, so many hundred people. But Jews have always been counted by their nefesh, by their souls. There's the rest of the world, we say, are Gilgolet, skulls. But ours are Nefashot. And no one would ever belittle the Jewish soul, but with the soul and their separate entities go the heart. There's no distinction in Jewish life between laws that affect the heart and laws that affect the soul. You know, both have their origins in Sinai. And to stomp on human decency and make promises that dishonor the soul and the heart is just as wrong as being honest and keeping a promise, but discarding religious values and duties of the soul. You know, we're told, don't put life before laws and then find it difficult for religion to catch up. Put laws before life and let life catch up. That's Torah for you. Torah is the blueprint. Torah is. Torah always was. Torah always will be. It is the holistic blueprint of human existence. And indeed, this is the message of shekalim, the shekels that were collected in the desert. It was only half a shekel that every Jew gave, an indication that giving that half a shekel is only half of the Jewish duty, the responsibility, one half heart and one half soul. There has to be a happy combination of religious obligation and heartfelt generosity. You don't give it and say, I'm done. I think, engineer, check out the time, please. All right. The Parsha, I'm just looking here. Oh, got it. Thank you. Okay. All right. So the Parsha, again, I hope you were taking notes, my friends. The Parsha deals with the holiness of Shabbat. You know, I always end this show because it's Thursday morning. It's late Thursday in Australia. It's still Wednesday night in the West, you know, and my friends in America and Canada. But, you know, Wednesday night comes, Thursday in Israel. We get into that Shabbos vibe. And the Torah emphasizes that the subject and the concept was dealt with behakel, publicly and nationally. So it means that there are two aspects of Shabbat. One is public and one is private. The private Shabbos is more active. Positive nature is attached to it. We remember, we make a kiddush, we have wine, we eat a sumptuous meal. We rest. The rest on Shabbos is a different rest. But the public aspect is what opens up the week. The public day, a day of shamor, watching, restraining, the absence of everyday hustle and bustle and commercial and daily life, is meant to mark publicly in front of others what we are accustomed to seeing and experiencing. You know, the blessings of public quiet, shuttered shops, the serenity of Friday nights and Saturday afternoons. These are the hallmarks of our Holy Shabbos. You know, there's a lot of discussion about whether stores in Jerusalem should open on Shabbos. I maintain no. The absence of the ordinary always reminds us that there's something extraordinary going on. A non-Jewish tourist once asked in the hotel that I was in for a freshly brewed cup of coffee where she was staying, and the Arab waiter, you had to hear this, explained to her that he couldn't comply, he couldn't do it, because it's Shabbos. She insisted, and he said, "Ma'am, this is a holy city. In our Shabbos, public and private, we are reminded where we are, who we are, and the type of life we are told to follow." My friends, Shabbat Shalom Mivorach from Holy Jerusalem.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.